Okay, thank you, Florent. So just to complete this introduction, so IPSO is an alliance, industrial alliance, where we have almost 60 members. We have all the big names, like all the chipset manufacturers, but we have also IBM, Google, Sun. We have also end users, mainly all the smart meter vendors. And the goal of this alliance is to promote the use of the IP protocol in the Internet of Things. You could think that it's a little bit strange that when we are talking about internet and we are talking about IP and there are still some questions, you will see and you could see that today we have a lot of proprietary solutions that is preventing this market really to pop up. Okay? And for Cisco, I'm also the product manager for Smart Grid and Internet of Things. Okay, just looking, I will give you a brief introduction about what can we say about Internet of Things in terms of requirements, markets that it will serve, and so far. So the first things that come up to the mind is the number of devices that will be connected to these big systems. And I put there that we will have 1 trillion of devices. Usually, the short-term forecasts are always wrong because they are overestimated. The long term are always wrong also because they are underestimated. Okay, so I think it's just to give you an order of magnitude that we will be connecting in the near future almost 1 trillion of devices connected to the internet. So it gives you some information about the type of architecture that we will have to define to interconnect all these objects. What is an object, in fact? What is a thing? So if you just look and very quickly, because you already have a lot of presentation on these type of things. So we talk about RFID. Okay, RFID is just one example about things that will be connected. But mainly where we will have, a lot of innovation and a lot of devices that will be connected will be on the sensor part, on the actuator part, on the embedded device, and probably the combination of all this functionality. And this is where, this is using these devices that you will be able to do some smart grid stuff, some smart city, smart building, smart home, and everything. Oops, too fast. Okay, so these are also some examples about the where you will find this intelligent device. So we talk about intelligent building, we talk about smart cities, we talk about industrial. Smart grid. Probably smart grid will be one of the markets that will deploy these devices starting now in a very, very large number. So you will see with a few examples about smart grid when we will talk about smart metering, but it's really where the Internet of Things is becoming a reality. And the things also with all these markets is that it seems that they are completely decorrelated, and we are talking about different markets. You will see in some examples that no, it's not true anymore. And if you want to do energy management, for instance, you need to interconnect a lot of devices that are not specific to energy only. So looking at smart city, so this is one example that we could take about traffic management, on probably pollution, on managing the emission and the CO2. You can see that if you only do traffic management is not sufficient. If you can connect to the car, you can probably, let some hybrid or electrical vehicle to enter into the town, city, or the center of the city, and you can prevent some thermic, cars to be there just to avoid the pollution. So you need to interconnect the car, you need to interconnect the traffic management, you need to interconnect almost everything. It has an impact also on healthcare. If you have a peak of pollution, you can prevent some people just to get out of the house because it could be damageable for them. Another example that I really like is about building management. What we had in the past, if just looking at heating, you have some system that are managing the heating system. Usually, it's proprietary system. And you have no interface. It's just a proprietary solution. It's a silo, as I call it. That is, the only thing is to manage the heating system. But if you look at the energy management as a whole in the future, heating is a big part of that. But you need to link that, for instance, with card reader. in order to know that some people are present in the building or not. You need to link that to some emergency activation system. So you can see that we are not talking anymore about silos. We are talking about applications that need to interconnect each other. Okay? And just in this building, for instance, it's a small one, let's say a four-floor building, you will have probably 10,000 of devices that you will need to connect. And if you are just talking about the different applications, probably you have hundreds of different applications that needs to be interconnected there. And if you use proprietary solution for each of these applications, it will be just a nightmare to deploy it and to manage it. I was talking about smart grid. Smart grid, in fact, we are pushed by the fact that it's becoming very expensive to produce energy. And usually the smart grid today is just built on the fact that you are producing the energy on big power plant and you use the distribution grid up to the end user. It will be not the case anymore in the future because you will have a distributed energy source of energy using a solar panel or using wind. That means that you will inject the energy almost everywhere in the distribution grid. And for instance, in France, Michel Bellon, who is the CEO of ERDF, the distribution company, mentioned that if you have more than, I think it's 10% of the houses that will be equipped in solar panel, it will just give so much instability on the distribution grid that you will have major blackout in the grid. And it's true everywhere. So how can you manage that? You need to deploy a lot of sensors everywhere just to stop, for instance, the distributed source of energy if something is occurring, or a fault or something. So you will have a lot of devices that will be deployed there. Talking about electric vehicles, same thing. If everybody is coming home at 6 and wants to recharge the battery of the car, just it can't be, okay? The distribution grid, we will never accept that. So you need to connect the car itself just to manage the way you will recharge the battery. Smart metering. Just one example about France. We are talking about 35 million of smart meters to be deployed based on the European Community, I think, directive, I don't know, that before 2020. That means that they are planning to deploy these 35 million of smart meters in 4 years. You know how many smart meters per day? Okay, it's 35,000 smart meters to be deployed per day for the next 4 years. Okay, I do not want to be the IT manager that will do that. Okay. What does that mean? Okay, it's just an example. But that means that it has an impact on the technology, it has an impact on the architecture, and you have to pick the right architecture and the right technology in order to be able to achieve this requirement. So, just talking about requirements. So, as I just underlined, we are talking about trillions of devices. And when we are talking about, you will see the next slide, about IP connectivity, that means that IPv4 is out of the picture. We have no more IPv4 addresses. The last bunch of IPv4 addresses were delivered 2 months ago, worldwide. We have still some remaining IPv4 address in the region, but worldwide there is no more IPv4 address. So that means that we will have to move to IPv6. Multi-service networks. This is really important. As I mentioned, we are not talking about silos for application. We are talking about multi-service. So that means that the infrastructure that will connect all these devices needs to be multi-service and not proprietary. No more silos, that's what I meant there. Multi-physical and Mac layer support. This is also something that is really important. We all know, I would say, the Ethernet cable, okay? But it moved now to fibers, it moved to radio connectivity. You could have also some power line communications. So you can see that a lot of new physical media on Mac layer will appear in the future because the requirements are evolving. Okay? We do not want to have cables everywhere because just to interconnect, remember these trillions of devices, if we just use cable to interconnect that, I think there will be no copper anymore. Okay? So we need new technology. And we need also technology that runs in low power. Okay? So the thermostat there, if it runs on a battery, you do not want to change the battery every 2 years. You want to change it every 10 years. Also, for instance, we are looking at technologies that runs on energy harvesting. That means that if you put just a small solar cell on this thermostat, it could run forever. It produces enough energy to connect the things to the infrastructure. You can use also the difference of temperature to produce the energy also. Okay, so that means that in the near future, you will see more and more new physical media that will pop up. So you need to have an architecture that will support the change of this physical connectivity without changing the architecture, without changing your application. Open standard. This is also something that is very important. We saw a lot of innovation on the internet today. Why? Because it's based on open standard. That means that every student in the world, every university could use the IP protocol or DNS or whatsoever to develop new applications or new products. It's completely free. So if we want to support the innovation, we need to build the Internet of Things on open standards. And this is really important. Security, privacy, I will not say more about what we saw this morning. Just one comment there. We always talk about security and privacy almost at the same time. Okay? Privacy for me is where you can correlate information with a human being. Okay? Security is when you want to secure a communication link. So for instance, the information that is coming from this thermostat, the temperature, okay, nothing secret there. I don't know, probably 20 degrees. Okay, if you secure the link between this thermostat to the application where you could find some correlation with all the people that are present in the room, here you have privacy issue, but you have security issue between this application and the thermostat. So my message is do not push too much privacy issue on a single device, but push the privacy where really it is needed. End-to-end architecture, this is something also that we need to be aware. We want to have, as I say, security end-to-end. We need to have quality of service end-to-end, up to the device itself, because it is the only way to ensure security or to ensure quality of service. And for instance, we were talking about IP. IP is offering this type of architecture. It's a layered protocol, so you can change a physical media, or you can change one layer without changing your architecture. If I decide to move from, I don't know, Ethernet to 802.15.4, so the radio that is used by Zigbee, if I use an IP architecture, I do not have to change my application. It's just completely transparent. And what is more, because some guys are just saying, okay, I'm compatible with IP. Look, my gateway is connected to the internet or to the intranet. No, you want to have IP up to the device itself, meaning IP connectivity up to the thermostat, up to the light bulbs, okay? IPv6, I think I already talked about that. No more IPv4 address. A lot of regulation bodies are pushing for the adoption of IPv6, and the Internet of Things is really one of the market or our technology area where IPv6 is clearly needed. There is no other choice. And for instance, the first thing is you need to address this device. So you need to have these trillions of addresses to support that. So IPv6 is a solution to address exhaustion. But it does not bring you only the addressability of the device. It offers you some other facilities like auto-configuration. You do not need to enter the IPv6 address in the device or to ask a DHCP server to give an address. The device itself could auto-configure this address. And when you have 35,000 of devices to deploy every day, you need to have additional features in order to support this type of deployment. One thing that is interesting is about there is always some confusion between the IPv6 address and the identifier. For me, it's completely different. The IPv6 address is a way to send the packet to a device. So you need to know where on the network the device is. And this is the IPv6 address. It is not an identifier. Okay? So this is really important to understand that. And the last point, the IETF is the standardization body that is standardizing the IP protocol. They are no more working on IPv4 for the Internet of Things. The only effort that they are doing for the Internet of Things is based on IPv6. So IPv4 is the legacy. Some example, because a lot of people, or I would say industry, that wanted to protect their market, say, no, there is no way that an IP stack will run on a thermostat. And in fact, with a few members of IPSO and a few companies, we decided to do some things. Okay, we will develop an IPv6 stack that is IPv6 ready compatible, and it's open source. It's completely free. Everybody can use it, okay? And in fact, this open stack that is really small, it's only 1.8 kbyte of RAM and 11k of flash, it could run on any microcontroller that you have in the world, 8-bit. Okay, on Freescale, Atmel, TI, they are using this type of stack. And now we are doing more. So instead of just the IP stack itself, we are adding 6LoWPAN, which is something to preserve the energy, so to compress the IPv6 header in order to run over low-power radio. It's also open source. The routing protocol also will be open source. So you can see, in order to help the industry, we need, and to support the innovation, we need to have open source project like that. The last point that I want to do is about gateways. For those who know me, they know that I hate gateways. Because usually, some industrial guys that want to protect their market, they say, okay, my gateway is IP-enabled, so it could be connected to internet, but it's doing some protocol translation. That means that it's hiding what is behind the gateway. So between the gateway and the sensor itself, you never know what happened. You are breaking the end-to-end principle. That means that you can't have end-to-end security mechanisms. That means that you can't have end-to-end quality of service. And what does that mean? If I have 10 applications to deploy, I will have 10 gateways to deploy. Just in terms of OPEX, it will be a nightmare. The management of all these boxes deploy in your building will be a nightmare to manage. Not only talking about CapEx, but really talking about OPEX there. It's also offering security holes. Each time you introduce a new box somewhere, you have security freight. And this was my last slide. So really, on my talk, we need to base the Internet of Things on open standard as a support for innovation. Not only for the open standard itself, but really as a support for the innovation. We need a clear, simple layered architecture. I hope I convince you that IPv6 is the way to go. Privacy and security were needed. And the last point is interoperability and certification. It's really important, and the IPSO Alliance is starting to work on interoperability. You need to ensure interoperability, because you need this market really to be successful. And the only way to do that is that to interconnect devices each together, and that it has to work, it has to run. So interoperability will be key. And I thank you for this.